Familie. Okay, as we begin this afternoon, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, this afternoon we pray and seek you, and we ask that you would speak to our hearts. We pray and ask that you would help us to listen to your word, and to learn to respond appropriately to you. We pray that you will help us, Lord, as we begin this time of studying and of understanding your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, good afternoon to everyone. And this afternoon, as we come to the end, as we conclude our study of Hebrews 12, we want to ask ourselves, what does the writer of Hebrews, and how does he want us to conclude? How is he concluding this chapter? Okay, and this afternoon we want to talk about this whole idea of having an appropriate response. How can we have an appropriate response? You know, of all the things that we have listened to, we have studied the book of Hebrews for some time now, of all the things that we have learned, how can we make an appropriate response? And I think that's something that's very important. As we learn, as we come each week, each Saturday, how can we respond well? How can we respond in a way that is guided by the Lord's Word? And today that's what we're going to talk about. The key idea is, can we make an appropriate response? Okay, and this afternoon I want to begin by giving you strong reasons, what I call strong reasons to respond appropriately, okay, to all that we have learned. And the first reason we see in verse 25, we read, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks." Okay, Hebrews 12, 25. "See that you do not refuse him who speaks." And I think this is a very, very important idea. Notice the use, him who speaks. Okay, the use of the present tense. And that tells us two things. It tells us first that God speaks to us presently. He continues to speak to us. Okay, it is present, one. It is continuous, two. I don't know whether you've ever thought about this, that God speaks to us. We remember in Hebrews 1:1, God spoke in time past, right? God spoke in the past. But God, here it says, God speaks to us today, right now. As we listen to the lessons, as we learn lessons from the Lord's Word, they aren't just lessons. They aren't just even precious lessons. It is the Lord speaking to our hearts. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. And the Lord speaks. You know, there was a time when the Lord spoke on earth. Okay? So, you know, we read in Hebrews 12:18. Okay? It's a reference to the time when God spoke to the people of Israel at Mount Sinai. Okay? And we read the description here, verse 18. "You have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words." Okay, there was a time when God spoke on earth. And when he spoke, the earth trembled, the mountain quaked, there was darkness, there was a tempest, there was trembling, there was fire. And the voice of God was so powerful that the people of Israel were trembling, they were so afraid. This is God speaking. Okay, and this is what it was. They were so afraid, and even Moses was afraid. Did you know that in verse 21? "And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I am exceedingly afraid and trembling.'" You see, this is the God who speaks. And then we come to the next part that talks about, "But you have come to Mount Zion." And that's true. But it is the same God who speaks to us, okay, that spoke to the people of Israel, whose voice was feared, whose voice caused trembling and terror and fear. And the same God speaks to us today. And the writer tells us, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. Now he may speak, the Lord may speak to us differently today. So we don't have trembling and we don't have fire and we don't have darkness and earthquake. I think it would be pretty scary. It was so scary that the people of Israel said, they begged, don't speak to us anymore. Speak to Moses. Don't speak to us anymore. Because this is truly, truly something powerful. Did you know God speaks to us today? He does, but it's just, he speaks differently. He speaks as one from heaven. Okay? They did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth. Okay, but much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Okay, but the Lord does speak to us. And I wonder if the Lord has been speaking to your heart as you listen to the messages that are preached. What is the Lord saying to you? What is the Lord speaking to you? Because how we respond to God, if ever there was a reason to respond appropriately to God, this is one of the important, strong reasons that God speaks, that he speaks today, that he speaks to your heart, that he speaks things that are urgent, things that are important, things that he wants us to attend to right now. An appropriate response. What is that strong reason? And that strong reason is that God speaks to our hearts. And we ask ourselves, well, what does the Lord speak to us about? What is the Lord speaking to us about? And there's something very, very, very important that he has been speaking to us about. Okay, and we read in verse 28, we are receiving a kingdom. Okay, the Lord has been speaking to us about the kingdom that we will one day be a part of. Okay, we are receiving this kingdom. Well, last week we learned from Pastor, it was about the aspects of the kingdom of God. The 4-3-2-1. And there's no one yet, but I'll show you the one. So, you know, there are four, right? There are four aspects. The Mount Zion, the four aspects in heaven, about heaven, right? Three, about the church. Yes? Okay? And then two, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And then we see one more aspect. One further aspect, one final description, that one. Okay, this is about heaven. Okay, this is about the church. Okay, this is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the Lord Jesus. Okay, and then we see one more aspect. And it's that description of the kingdom of God being unshakable. What is the Lord speaking to us about? And one of the things that is important, that is urgent, that he speaks to us about, is about his kingdom. What his kingdom is all about? Mount Zion, right? Heavenly Jerusalem, innumerable company of angels that we are a part of. All these things. And one more aspect, that this kingdom is unshakable. And I like this idea, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I like this idea. In what sense? What does it mean? What do you have? What do you shake a kingdom in the first place? But why are so many things being shaken in this? No, the idea here is that the kingdom of God is something that's going to last. Okay? Heaven and earth, one day they will be removed. Now, many of us are taken in by nature, and nothing wrong with that. I mean, we look at nature, we feel that, wow, it's so amazing. You look at the mountains, they are like, they are immovable. You know, we think to ourselves, the seas are so broad, we can't see to the end of it. But did you know that the world as you know it, you step outside, you look at the world around you, look at the skies, look at everything that is around you. It seems like it's going to be there for all time, but it's not. The kingdom that we are receiving, the kingdom that we are literally a part of, that will remain. Heaven will pass. Earth will pass away. Everything made will pass away. But you know what will remain? The kingdom of God. And that's what it is. We are part of that kingdom that is unshakable, that cannot be shaken, that remains, and that will always remain. And that is an amazing 4-3-2-1. Okay, so we have 4, we have 3, we have 2, and then you have that final description of it all. I wouldn't say the cherry on the cake, but you know, that final description of it all, that kingdom is going to remain. And that kingdom is something that you can be a part of. You know, we understand what this means, to be a part of something. You know, we were talking about the National Day, okay, and National Day Parade. I make it a point to watch the parade as well. And I make it a point at the end of the parade when the anthem is played to stand up. Okay, and it's true, you know, you really feel a part of, for that moment, you, wow, this is Singapore. And when they sing, that first part of it is a cappella style. And then the music comes on halfway through, very, very dramatic. You know, but you really, really, you feel a part of it, you know? And if we can feel a part of something, Singapore is a temporary thing. I mean, we don't know how long this will last, okay? I remember Minister Chan Chun Sing, when he first wanted to come into politics, he made this speech and he asked, how long do you think Singapore will last? Most people said up to about 100 and 150 years, and we don't know after that, you know? And it's true, we don't know how long Singapore will last. You know, we can feel a part of something. We can feel, what about the kingdom of God? Unshakable. It will never go away. It's something that we are receiving, even now. What about that? You know, to me, that is a special idea. That really is a special idea. You know, to be a part of something great, something wonderful. If we can appreciate the temporal, how come we, how come we can't seem to appreciate that which is so much greater, so much better? That's the kingdom of God. You know, to be a part of something. And we are part of the kingdom of God. We are receiving it. And we already begun to receive it. We are receiving the kingdom of God. Sometimes we find it hard to understand, hard to appreciate. And then God gives us something special to understand that. God gives us something. And that is the church. And that is Bethany. And that is all that we are able to understand and enjoy at this present time. But you know, one day, in all its fullness, the kingdom of God will be revealed. You see, how is it that we want to make a response? How can we make an appropriate response to the Lord? Okay, first we understand that God speaks. Okay, and this is an important reason. He speaks to our hearts, but what does He speak about? What does He speak? And one of the important things that He speaks about is His kingdom. And the part that we have in it. And what it's all about. 4, 3, 2, 1. And all that it consists of and all that it is. And it takes faith to be able to see that God speaks to us concerning this, our kingdom, His kingdom, the kingdom of God. And at the end of it all, He wants us to make appropriate responses. He wants us to make appropriate responses to what He's speaking to us about. Okay, and this is what it is. How can we make appropriate responses to all that the Lord is speaking to us about? How can we make appropriate responses? And we go on to read in verse 28. Okay? Since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. How can we respond well to this? And it's found in this word, grace. I don't know whether you have... Grace is something that has already been given. Grace is something that the Lord has already shown. It's already there. It's already been given. The question is, one, are we able to appreciate this grace? And two, is it something that we can apply? Now, I don't know whether you appreciate grace. I don't know whether you see grace in the kingdom of God that has been given to us. To be able to think, you know what? One day, I'm going to be there. One day. I'm going to be in that kingdom. I'm going to be in such... I like what Pastor said last week. I'm going to be in such august company. You know, it's August, so you got to be in August company. But it's to be able to be with an innumerable company of angels, right? To be able to be with part of that general assembly there. No, to be able to one day meet and speak with the people who wrote the scriptures. You can ask the Hebrews writer, well, just know what you're saying. You can ask him things. You can say, hey, what is this all about? You know, you can be there. The fact that you can even be there, the grace of God, that we can be in that, called the church of the firstborn, that we can be registered in heaven. The grace of God is something that comes through. When we understand what is the Lord saying to us, I give you a kingdom, you can receive a kingdom. And this kingdom, every aspect of this kingdom, will tell you of my grace, will tell you of the grace of God that is bestowed on us. And you know, I wonder, if you were to run through again this 4-3-2-1, what stands out? What is it that, what is one part of it that really, really, you know, that really hits home with you? And you know what really hits home with me, if I can just share with you? It's two. It's the one who made it all possible. And we come to who? Not to what alone, to who? We come to the Lord Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. You know what that means? He made it all possible. When you go up, when you finally reach heaven and the kingdom of God in its fullness, what is one question that you might be asking yourself? You know what I'll be asking myself? What am I doing here? How did I get to come up and be part of this? How did I get to be part of the kingdom of God? How? Look at myself, look at my sins. How did this happen? You know, it's to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. It's the blood of sprinkling. When sin is deep, you've got to be cleansed deeply. And deep cleansing comes only from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. How amazing to be part of it. The grace of God that has been shown to us. You know, grace has to be appreciated. But grace appreciated is also not enough. Grace has to be applied. And that's why it says, let us have grace. I mean, if grace has been given, why do we need to have grace? Right? And the reason is because it is not only appreciated for all that it is, but it has to be applied in our daily lives. Okay, and that's what it is. How can we apply this grace? You know, if we truly understand what it means to be part of the kingdom of God, we want to live differently. You know, we want to serve in that kingdom of God. But we need to apply that grace. And I like how Paul spoke about the way he applied grace. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. And this is a verse that I keep close to my heart. I bring it back to memory again and again. How can we apply this grace? By the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, to me, it's such a statement is made by Paul towards the later part of his ministry where he is what he is. I mean, it's no question. What is Paul? You don't really have to say. It's that eminent apostle. It's that writer is the one filled with knowledge, the one, you don't have to, he can say, I am what I am. No, we can't say, I am what I am. We can't. But we can say that I want to labor more abundantly, that we can say that the grace of God to us, that we appreciate because of 4-3-2-1, that we appreciate that we can receive this kingdom, the grace of God bestowed to us, we will apply that. And we will apply that by laboring more abundantly. And we will apply that by being able to live out our lives in the way that we are meant to. The grace of God is so important, but let us have grace. First, it begins with an appreciation of grace. But if we truly have appreciated grace, then one further step is needed. Have grace. Let us have grace. Let us apply that grace. That the grace of God in our lives may not be in vain, may never be in vain. And that's such an important point. If you wish to respond appropriately, apply this grace in your life. Make it a part of you to desire to work hard, to desire to serve the Lord. Make it a part of you to labor and more abundantly, as much as you can. Apply this grace into your life. And this is something that I try to do. I really try to do. I mean, it's not an easy thing, but you know, you keep on trying anyway. You know, there are times where you feel, oh, how do I go beyond? How do I improve? How do I do things better? How can I serve better? You know, and that how the word is the grace of God. We apply that grace. Okay, and the next part of it comes, it is a natural flow through. As we apply that grace, what is it that we want to do as people, as citizens of the kingdom of God? What do we want to do in the kingdom of God? I mean, we can enjoy the place, you know, we can have fun. What would you do in the kingdom of God? Like, what is it that would make being in the kingdom of God something that you really, wow, And naturally, you want to serve. And that's the next part of it. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. You know, if we truly appreciate the grace shown to us, if we truly appreciate the kingdom of God that is given to us, then serving is something that is natural. It's something that we want to do. You know, I want to serve. I want to be able to do something with my life. If I'm going to end up in the kingdom of God at the end of the day, if I am truly part of the kingdom of God, even now, then that should affect the way I live my life. And there's one thing I want to do with my life. I want to make it count towards the kingdom of God. I want to make it count with reference to the kingdom of God. I want to serve. Isn't that something natural that you would do if we truly, truly appreciate the kingdom of God? If we truly understand this word that the Lord is speaking to us, isn't that something natural that you would do? Isn't it? Right, we would serve. We want to serve. But how do we serve? You know, in every nation, in every country, there are always standards of how you serve, right? For example, in Singapore, if you are a doctor and you were trained in some other countries, okay, and you want to come and practice in Singapore, literally because you are trained there, you can't go beyond a certain level here. What's the reason for that? Standards. Well, we have our standards. Singapore has its own standards of what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. Right? And that's what it is. You've got to have certain standards. And in order to maintain that standard, Singapore would literally say no to doctors. You literally cannot go beyond this level. Same thing for lawyers. There are universities that Singapore would say no to, even if you get first class or any other grade. They will say no to you. You can't practice here because it's not recognized. Standards. I mean, a nation has its standards, right? The kingdom of God also has its standards. But we say we want to serve God, but we have to serve acceptably. We have to serve in a way that is acceptable in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God also has its own standards that we must keep to. Can we serve acceptably? And two things are listed for us, okay? With reverence and godly fear. The two aspects of how we must serve, how we can serve, right? It's reverence and godly fear. The Lord Jesus Christ set the example. When he was functioning as high priest, the prayers that he made with vehement cries and tears, his prayers were heard because of godly fear. You know, and that's one of the things, that the example that he set for us. You know, if we want to serve the Lord, we want to serve with these standards in mind. We want to be able to serve in a way that is acceptable in the kingdom of God. We want to serve acceptably. We want to serve God acceptably. But you see, one of the problems is that sometimes when we begin to serve, we begin with zeal, we begin with regard for the work, we begin with reverence for the Lord's work. But after a while, 1 month, 2 months, 1 year, it begins to, you know, it becomes something that you do. You just do it because it's part of what you do. It becomes just something which you used to see as so special. I give my all to this work. I do my best for the Lord, for the Lord's work. Suddenly it becomes something that is just, it's just what you do. You see, the danger is very, very real. Well, we want to serve, but we got to serve acceptably. And to serve acceptably demands for us to serve with reverence and godly fear. Not once, not twice, but consistently, continuously, again and again and again. You know, how can we overcome this problem? How can we overcome this problem of we serve, but the reverence is not there, the fear of God is not there. How can we overcome this problem? And the key is also in the Lord's word, by which we may serve God acceptably. And that by which there refers to the grace of God. You know, we go back to the grace of God again and again and again. How can we make sure that we serve the Lord well? How can we make sure that we serve the Lord acceptably? By returning to the grace of God. You know, and this is what it is. How can we respond appropriately? And there are two ways. Okay, and today's message is, the Lord speaks. Yes, the Lord speaks. But what is He speaking to your heart? Does He speak concerning the kingdom of God? And the many, and its aspects, 4, 3, 2, 1. And in there, do you see the grace of God? Do you appreciate it? And if you appreciate it, can you apply that grace into your life? How can you apply that grace? When you serve, as you serve, in the way that we serve, in the things that we do. You know, it may not be a big thing. What is fear and what is godly reverence all about? It is partly it is the way we approach the Lord, how careful we are with His work. Is it done carelessly or carefully? Partly it has to do with, you know, whether we are, the kind of effort that we put into it. Partly it has to do with the heart. You know, sometimes these dangers are so real. And the only way to combat them is to go back to the grace of God again and again and again. You know, and I hope that as we listen to the Lord's word, as we continue to listen, that we make responding to the Lord something that's a part of us. That we don't just take in, but that what comes in literally changes us. And that what comes in leaves an impact. And that what comes in comes out in the way that we serve and is reflected in the way that we serve. Abundantly, labor more abundantly. And Paul says, than everyone else, even the apostles. And that was him. And that was the way he showed his own regard for the Lord's work. And I hope that as we come to the conclusion of Hebrews 12 this afternoon, that we will begin to really seriously think about it. Can we respond appropriately? There are two strong reasons. The Lord speaks. The Lord's voice is not something to tremble with. We read in verse 29, our God is a consuming fire. He is the same God. Remember that. But if He speaks, what does He speak to you about? The kingdom of God. It's here. We are receiving this kingdom even now. We are part of it. We are part of this church. It's so wonderful to be a part of this church, to get a taste, a foretaste, before we come to a point where we see the kingdom of God in its fullness. Not yet. But you know, what can we do? As people who are part of the kingdom of God, as people who are part of the church, well, what can we do with our lives? Let's serve. It's not about the small things or big things. It's not. It's whether your heart is in it. It's whether that reverence is there. It's whether godly fear is there. It's whether love is there, and passion and commitment. And when we give the Lord our very, very best, that is acceptable. And that falls under the standards of the kingdom of God. And that's how we can respond. And I hope that you can respond. And I think that the challenge that Pastor posed to us last week is something that I myself want to try to practice. The memorizing of the Lord's word. You know, it's something that's so, so important. I wonder if we have taken the time to really internalize 4, 3, 2, and 1. And what part of it stands out to you? Because you know what? It will begin to change. The way you see your life, it will begin to change the way you see many things. Because the kingdom of God is now a part of your life, a part of your mindset, your approach towards life. But only when we really take the time to hide the Lord's word in our hearts. Okay, and today's word is just as important. You read in verse 28. Okay, let's read this together. Okay. Beginning verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And I hope that we will take the time to hide the Lord's word in our hearts. You know, it's something that we will try. We will certainly try. We are always trying to do. Okay, and may that be something that the Lord would speak to your heart about. Okay, let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, we come before You and we ask that You would speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts, Lord, concerning the kingdom that we are receiving. Help us to appreciate the grace that You have shown to us. Help us not just to appreciate, but to apply in all that we do, in the way that we serve You, to recognize that we want to respond by giving of our very, very best, by learning to serve You acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. We ask that You would help us to learn to respond well to Your word, and to learn to hide Your word in our hearts, that we may be able to know that which You are speaking to us about. We ask that You would bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's collect our offering.